From theunts.com, this is the Unts Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunts.com. Hello and welcome to the Unts Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. My guest is Tim Bergling, better known as Avicii. This 21-year-old Swedish house superstar burst onto DJ Mag's Top 100 DJs poll after a huge year working with acts like Tiesto, Sebastian Ingrosso, and Axwell. Let's get right to it. There's such a big orchestral sound on your tracks. I wonder, did you grow up playing instruments, a piano perhaps?
No, not really. I've experienced it a bit with different instruments, but I've never been really good with any. So, like, I play a little bit of guitar and a little bit of piano, but never good enough to do anything with them.
So, really, your first experience with music and composition, all that, came sitting at a computer?
Yeah, sure.
And I understand your first experience was a remix of a Commodore 64 track?
Yeah, called Lacey Jones. And I wanted to just try and make a remix out of that one, and it just ended up sounding completely different to that one because I didn't want it to make it too similar to the original. So that's kind of what I've been doing with all my remixes and stuff since then as well. Like, I always try to go away as much as possible.
I'd certainly like to come back to that because a lot of your work is in remixes, but I wonder, how did the process begin from you playing around with remixes of various tracks to all of a sudden getting signed by Vicious Vinyl and Ministry of Sound? It seems like all this happened so quickly.
It all kind of started when I met my manager. So I met my manager back 2 years ago now. So I met him, and back then I was just, my sound wasn't nearly done yet, and I was just your standard home bedroom producer type guy. He just heard some of my stuff on different blogs and kind of contacted me. And yeah, he lives in Sweden as well, so we went out, had some dinner, and he just kind of went from there, and he just helped me with everything up to this point.
Was it a matter of getting you better production gear, or maybe putting you in contact with people that might be able to help you mature your sound? What sort of help do you get from amateur bedroom recording to very gorgeous sound, full sound, just a very finished product?
I think it was a lot of my manager as well, you know, because he kind of, like, you know, from the start, he started feedbacking me, because he doesn't really produce himself, but he's very into music in general. So we kind of just worked on the Avicii brand in general, kind of where did we want to go and where did we want, we needed the production level to be higher. So we worked a lot of that. He put me in touch with people who could help me with that aspect. And as far as the general sound goes, which is something we come up with, like I did a couple of tracks and I sent them to him, and we noticed them working, and then he helped guide me towards, like, what do we need for this remix? So I would ask him for advice, what do you think I should do with this one? And then he said, no, for this one, we need to go down this road and do something a bit more commercial, for instance, and stuff like that. So that kind of helped me broaden my sound a bit.
Well, let's take an example. One of your biggest hits to date is Bromance. Can you tell me about the creative process behind a track like that? Where do you begin? What's your personal philosophy on creating a new track? Do you start with melody or bass lines or drums?
With that one, I started with, I mean, it's all different. Sometimes you're doing something completely from just a cool loop that you found, or sometimes you can, but with that particular one, I think I had the melody lying around, and I was on the road touring, and I just felt like this melody had something, but the way it was at the moment I wasn't really feeling it, so I just kind of gave it another go, and it just kind of happened. I started playing around, trying to find an instrument for the lead, and then I kind of moved on to where is it going, where is it going to lead, what kind of track do I want to do with the film.
Bromance from Avicii right here on the UNS Podcast.
You were named Breakthrough Artist of the Year by Tiesto, Laidback Luke, Dirty South, and more in 2009. What does it mean to you to then go on to work with some of those stars like Tiesto and Sebastian Ingrosso? You were probably listening to their music long before you got into the game, and then suddenly you're working with them. That must be overwhelming.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they're all huge inspirations to me in this different aspects. So it really feels it doesn't feel real, you know, to be able to work. And I know all of them now, so they're all friends, and I don't really look at them as that anymore. It's like you have Tiesto, then you have Ties, which is his real name. So it's kind of weird because I get like two images, because I still have my like somewhat of my old image, but it's not really the person I know. So it's more like the artist aspect of him, you know, that's still kind of, so it feels really unreal.
What role do you usually take when you're working with somebody like a Tiesto, like the Swedish House Mafia? How does a collaboration, first of all, change your approach to creating your music? And then when you're working with someone who is 10, 20 years older than you, has a lot more experience, when you work together, do you tend to let them take the reins, or do you feel like the process is still half you and half them?
Well, I mean, it's always half you and half them, right? So you always have to, you can't really, like, even though they're more experienced, obviously there's a time where you have to first get to know each other and then feel each other out a bit and see how they're like in the studio. But after that's done, you know, you just have to come with as many ideas and bring as many ideas to the table as they do, and then state your opinions, right? Because that's what they want from you as well. They want to, if they want to do a track with you, they want you to bring your sound to the table.
Absolutely. So in your industry, the Swedish house industry, in the house industry all over Europe, a lot of your projects will be remixes, either ones that you choose to do or the ones that your label brings to you. Do you have a formula for how you go about starting on a remix? Do you have a process that you maybe work through when you are tasked with making a remix? Do you generally have a plan of attack?
Yeah, it depends a bit on the remix, of course, what parts I want to use. But usually I just use the vocal. So I guess usually I just kind of start by bringing in the vocal, and then start by trying to just play around a bit on my synth on top of the vocal and trying to figure out a melody for the track. And then from there, I just kind of start building it. But I always like start out with the vocal and just a piano. Even though I end up not using a piano, I always start with a piano just because you can hear all the harmonies, you can hear everything very clearly. So that's kind of how I go about when I start.
What are the various tools you're using in the studio and on stage? I wonder, you mentioned that you maybe use the piano to help you create, but when you actually go to put the track together, what kind of hardware are you using? What kind of software is in your arsenal?
Well, for software, I'm using FL Studio Fast Sequencer, which is the one I've been using. I've been using that and Logic back and forth for a while. And I'm just, well, that's different as well. Like, I have so many different instruments, like software instruments, and so many different software plugins that I use. So I try out new, and I try it new all the time as well. So it's constantly changing. So it's really hard to pinpoint exactly what, except Fruit Loops, which is the sequencer, right? But except from that, I don't really use any hardware either. I mean, I just finished our studio, or it's not actually finished yet, but it's going to be finished in 1 week or something, and then I'm going to start using some hardware. So we've gotten some SSL compressors and stuff like that for the studio, which is going to be really fun playing around with. But so far, I've just been here, like in my one-bedroom apartment, and done everything on a small small corner setup. So I haven't really had any room for hardware either.
You can't tell at all in your music. I wonder, when you're on stage, what then is your main system?
No, I'm just on CDs. I'm on CDJs and yeah. I'm trying to make the switch to USBs now, but it's going slowly. My feelings for you have always been free. My feelings for you have always been free. I was so in love with you, I could hardly see.
Avicii and Sebastian Drums, My Feelings for You.
So you started touring worldwide recently, and I have to ask, you've played main stages at festivals with thousands of people, but also your smaller clubs. Which venue do you think suits your sound best? Do you think that your sound is more suited for big arenas, or do you think it's a more of an intimate sound where, you know, people can be right there on the dance floor in front of you going nuts?
It's such a hard choice because it's two different, it's two completely different feelings and vibes.
Well, it's obviously more breathtaking when it's like a big festival and there's like 20,000 people in front of you. But the vibe at smaller clubs is something really special as well. Like when you get a good vibe in a smaller club, it's equally amazing, but in a different way.
So you were ranked number 39 in DJ Mag's top 100 poll for the first time. You just popped down the charts. What does that mean to you? Is it a great honor, or do you think that, you know, it doesn't matter what the numbers are? It's how your fans feel about you, the quality of your output. I wonder what your take is on that.
Well, I don't think it really matters much. I think it is more of a, because a lot of the polls, in my opinion, are kind of not really messed up. But there's a lot of things that doesn't really correspond to reality. But
I mean, at the same time, it's a big honor to be there. Of course, I mean, however you look at it, it's one of those things that you've been looking at for right from the start. So you always had that has always been a dream to be on the top 100, even though it hasn't. I'm happy to be there, but I don't think it matters much for my career in general.
That makes a lot of sense. While house still dominates the international dance charts, there are so many new sounds coming from the UK and America, as well as Europe. Are you interested in any of the newer trends? Do you feel like you may incorporate some into your own sound, or do you feel like you're very comfortable with the type of music that you've crafted and feel like you've found your voice, essentially?
No, I'm always trying. I'm always trying to get new inspiration from different sources in general. So I'm always open to changing my sound. I never feel satisfied with my sound because I mean, the sound is always something that's changing, especially in dance music. So it's always changing. You always have to adapt with it to some extent. Like at the moment, I'm pretty happy with my sound, but I have a lot of new tracks coming out that's sounding completely different to each other. So now it's going to be really interesting. I'm going to keep trying to continue to develop myself and my sound, of course.
Are there any different styles that you can point to and say that you've incorporated this or that into your new music? Or do you feel like you're just hearing things wherever you are, walking around at the mall, whatever, and it's sort of incorporating itself into your music without even actively thinking about it?
Yeah, well, it could be actively thinking about it, but it could be when I'm walking around in a mall. So it could be like I hear a track or I hear an old track. It doesn't have to be like EDM. It could be an old Ray Charles track or whatever, and hear a sound there, and then it would be cool to do something with that, you know, like do something different with that and trying to transform that into house or whatever. So I kind of go about it like that, and sometimes obviously I hear stuff in other house tracks and I feel like, oh, that's a really cool idea, but what if you did it kind of like this instead? And, you know, so you get ideas from all over.
Okay, before we go, you mentioned, what sort of a release are you working on?
Different releases. Like I have a lot. Like I'm working more towards singles with different labels at the moment. So I'm trying to get them out and different labels, trying them out. That way I don't have to be tied down to just one label. So now I'm just gonna try, because I've been exclusive now for 2 years with Vicious Grooves. And that's coming to an end now. So I just want to try and be on my own for a while. And,
okay.
And try just doing it single wise.
Do you think you would ever want to put out a full length solo album?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's in the pipeline. I'm not sure when I wanna do it. You know,
because a lot of things has to add up before I feel, because I don't want to release an album with either stressed out tracks or a lot of tracks that are already out. I want to try and do something from scratch. I want to have the time to really take a month or 2 months off and just sit in the studio and produce an album and see where I end up with that.
That sounds great, and we wish you the best of luck. Tim Berg, Avicii, thanks so much for being on the UNS podcast.
Thanks for having me, man.
Going to do it for this week's UNS podcast. I'd like to thank Ash Fats with At Night Management and, of course, my guest, Tim Bergling. Stay tuned to theUNS.com for Avicii's latest releases. Coming up in January on the UNS podcast, UK dubstep phenom Fabian, indie oddball Hot Sugar, down tempo maestro Emancipator, and many more exciting guests. Thanks to everyone who made 2010 such a great year for the podcast. There's more where that came from. Remember to visit theUNS.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review. Tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, or you'd like to be a guest on the UNS podcast, contact me at anand@theUNS.com. That's ANAND @theUNS.com. Catch you next year.